Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
And I think each of us, particularly in the context of a pandemic that's killing millions of people, you have got to look at it and say there comes a time when you do have to give up what you consider your individual right of making your own decision.
Nice try, pal.
We can gather for Christmas, or it's just too soon to tell.
You know, Margaret, it's just too soon to tell.
I'm not listening.
When you tell people that there are alternatives, that if you do not want to get vaccinated, you're not going to work, I think that the emergent nature of what we're dealing with actually does justify that.
Still not listening.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I truly believe that the mandates only divide us and only divide us more. From the standpoint of mandates, I don't believe in imposing upon our freedoms over and over and over.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. I'm so glad the Herald found some pictures they could use of Thomas Nee, the former president of the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association, who has agreed to plead guilty today to stealing, embezzling over $16,000 in overtime funds from the Boston Police Department. There's a ton of pictures of him at the White House back in 2009 with Dementia Joe Biden and Barack Obama. There's a nice picture of him sitting and looking with a deep awe and interest as Joe Biden just waxes philosophical and brilliant like he always does, even in 2009. A former Boston police officer who was also head of the Boston Police Patrolmen's Association and was honored at the White House has been charged in connection with an overtime fraud scheme. Thomas Nee, 64, of Quincy, has agreed to plead guilty to collecting about $16,642 in overtime he did not work, the U.S. Attorney's Office announced today. Try not to let this destroy your faith in the integrity of the President of the United States to be sitting next to this admitted embezzler. Shocking, shocking stuff.
I'm shocked.
I know. But a very big disappointment for the cult of the mask today. Massachusetts reports 3,283 coronavirus cases over the weekend, the third straight weekend of fewer cases. Well, we can all hope for better next week, can't we? So we can extend the mask mandate into a few more cities and towns. 844-500-4242. Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana had a great description of who Biden is trying to appeal to with these wacky trillion-dollar spending plans here. But it's worse than even John Kennedy. He was going for the joke, but it's worse than that. But let's play his cut first. Cut 16.
And I guess the moral of the story is this is what happens. This is what happens when you have a president and a treasury secretary who are on a mission from God to please pink-haired wokers who carry around Ziploc bags of kale. This is what happens when you have a president and a secretary who want to tax, spend, and regulate America into neo-socialism.
Betsy McCoy, the former lieutenant governor of New York State, has a really good column about this. Democrats high on megabucks political scam bill. I'm just going to read you a little bit of this. I've been trying to explain this. She did a better job than I've been doing, actually. Democrats are pushing to pass a multi-trillion-dollar spending bill called the Build Back Better Act. It ought to be called the Political Scam Bill. Buried in the 2,465 pages are various billion-dollar grants to unnamed community organizations for vague purposes, such as promoting community engagement and creating equitable civic infrastructure. What the hell does that mean, creating equitable civic infrastructure? That means payouts to the next generation of layabouts who want to just, stuff ballot boxes for Democrats. As Betsy McCoy says, translation, your taxpayer dollars will fund the payrolls of left-wing advocacy groups between elections. In return, they become the campaign army, staffing phone banks, harvesting ballots, and escorting people to the polls on election day. The Build Back Better bill is pouring tens of billions of dollars, an unprecedented amount, into community organizations. That's because the stakes are high. Congressional Democrats have failed to ram through the two voting bills that would change election rules to favor their party. That's a euphemism. We all know what it's all about, favoring their party. Build Better Back is the party's fallback position at gaining an electoral advantage. The bill not only bankrolls nonprofit community organizations, but also adds to their clout by allowing them to hand out billions of dollars in seed money for local business startups. This is really crazy. I didn't know this. In a new twist, the Small Business Administration is distributing huge sums to nonprofits that will serve as quote-unquote incubators, disbursing funding to startup businesses in quote-unquote underserved areas. What could possibly go wrong, right? Curiously, the SBA has regional offices across the U.S. to help startups and could distribute the funds itself, but instead it is empowering nonprofits by making them the middlemen. How often do you read about scandals involving nonprofits? Pretty often, right? If you pay any attention to the news. And startups, as Betsy McCoy says, 90% of startups fail. There is no riskier place to put taxpayer money. Yet the bill establishes no standards for which businesses get the funding, except that they have to be majority owned by members of underrepresented communities, including residents of high poverty areas and jailbirds, or she calls it the formerly incarcerated. From an economic point of view, it's taxpayer money down a rat hole. Clearly, the goal is political. It's vote buying. Build Back Better is funding an even wider array of organizations. It allocates a whopping $5.7 billion, quote, for community-led projects to stabilize neighborhoods. Stabilize them how? Translation, rallies and legal action to stop gentrification and quote-unquote displacement. There's also $5 billion for climate justice block grants to pay community organizations for, among other things, quote, facilitating engagement of disadvantaged communities in state and federal processes, unquote. Translation, organizing protests and demanding seats on zoning boards. God. For every left-wing community organization, there's a grant in Build Back Better. The causes range from growing and diversifying the doula workplace to anti-discrimination and bias trainings. Ugh, that's what this money's all about. And see, all the groups with their hands out who've never worked, they never want to work. They just want to get some federal money and do job training, as they used to say in the 60s, they're all going to bitch and moan if they don't get this. They've been counting on this to prevent them from having to actually get a job, a real job. 844-500-4242. Susan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Susan.
Yes, hi. I'm calling about the Big E ended yesterday, and they put a big marquee up. Thank you, everyone, 2021. 1,498,774 visitors, and we had on Saturday, our biggest day ever, 177,238. So I took a picture of this marquee, tried to put it on Facebook. They wouldn't even let me post it. They will not let me send it to you.
Yeah, Facebook was down, Susan. That's the problem. You can send it to me now. Facebook has come back up. Facebook was down for most of the afternoon. That was the problem. Thanks for the call. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Howie, I was just hearing on the news. I was wondering if Kristen Sinema was followed into the bathroom by a man and a woman. I've heard that that's a felony in Arizona, so I'm hoping that...
It's a felony, period, to record anybody. I mentioned it earlier. The American Thinker looked it up. It's a videotaping someone in a restroom. It doesn't say anything about genders. Without obtaining their his or her consent is a class 5 felony. Distributing the video, which is what they did, is another class 5 felony. And because cinema is recognizable, the class 5 felonies are upgraded to class 4 felonies. All of these can result in sentences of between 6 months and 3 3/4 years. And threatening a sitting senator, which is what they did, is a federal offense, and that can get you 5 years, John.
Okay, good. And I was wondering about the reconciliation. How many times can they do that? Isn't that why the Republicans want them to do it, so they can't keep doing it more and more?
I don't know the ins and outs of it. But, you know, they were yelling at her in the bathroom. They were saying, you've got to get all these handouts to illegal aliens. Keep it in the process. And the Senate parliamentarian has already ruled that that's against the procedure. I guess it's illegal to put that into this kind of omnibus bill. And so the illegal alien is screaming at the U.S. senator while violating the law and recording her, threatening her basically, and telling her she has to break the law by giving more handouts to the illegal aliens. It's outrageous. And in the meantime, I don't care what this Lieutenant Colonel tweeted out or put on social media about the Trumps. I mean, he should not be in the brig when you're allowing illegal aliens to threaten senators and engage in. Taking these kinds of pictures, in you could define it, I think, as pornography, and it's put out over the internet, and nothing happens to these people. They're the toast of the town. The blue check marks love this illegal alien. Thanks for the call, John. We'll be back and we'll take more of your calls. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's making talk radio great again. He's Howie Carr.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show is brought to you in part by the Century House in Peabody, where you can enjoy fall comfort foods such as their tender steak tips and moist stuffed chicken breast. Visit them today and enjoy.
Mother of mercy, is this the end of Rico?
Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by GoldCo. Stagflation is making a comeback. Go to goldco.com/Howie Carr to request your free IRS loophole guide and learn how you can protect your wealth and take control of your retirement. That's goldco.com/Howie Carr. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will anyone be prosecuted for filming Senator Kyrsten Sinema in the bathroom?
No.
Only 4% say yes.
844-500-4242. Now, on Maria Bartiromo's show yesterday, Sunday Morning Future, she had on Cash Patel. And he used to be Devin Nunes' guy when the Republicans were in the majority and they were doing the investigation of the Russian collusion hoax. And then he got other jobs as time went on. He's a pretty smart guy. He's a former federal prosecutor. And so Maria had him on to discuss the indictment of Michael Sussman by Special Counsel John Durham, and he was pretty good. I hope he's right. I don't necessarily believe he's right, but I like to hear what he says. And he says that Sussman is not the last guy that will be indicted, that there will be other indictments of top echelon FBI agents Cut 18, cash pay tell.
Will John Durham reel in any big fish, in your view?
Yeah, and I believe so. And let me just put this in perspective. When I was running large-scale conspiracy and fraud investigations, they took me 3, 4, 5 years to prosecute. John Durham's only in his second year of the most political scandal in U.S. history. So I believe within the next 6 months, look out for indictments against the folks like Fusion GPS and Glenn Simpson for helping perpetuate this fraud. And look out for individuals like Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. I believe they're already helping John Durham. They're cooperating with him to get the bigger fish like the Andy McCabe, who is the biggest fraudster next to James Comey. I think you're going to see these indictments start coming out on the individuals at the top. It's just going to take a few more months, but I remind your viewers, it takes a little bit of time to work these matters.
Unbelievable. And no, you know, no surprise, the mainstream media gave them all jobs.
Yeah, Andrew McCabe. They'll have to drag him out of the green room at CNN. He's on so much. He was talking about what a nothing burger the Sussman indictment was. Who was it? There's a guy on the internet that says no excitement without indictments. We always used to say an indictment is always a disappointment, but you know, excitement, indictment rhymes a little more. This is, and did the FBI know that the Clintons were actually feeding them this material when they were accepting it credulously enough? The answer is obvious, but here's Cash Patel. Cut 17.
When do you believe the FBI figured out that all of this was just one political campaign trying to take down another?
I think they knew right away. And the documents that we put out in the Nunes investigation, the Nunes memo, and the HPSI report on Russian active measures show that the FBI knew right away, because their FISA abuse process, now that declassification process is complete, and your viewers can read it, that the FBI knew the information was fraudulent. They knew the credibility problems with Christopher Steele, and they knew the DNC through Fusion GPS and Perkins Coie were piping in tens of millions of dollars into the machine so that they could get up a FISA warrant on President Trump. So I think they knew right away, which is why I think the individuals at the head of the FBI need to be held accountable.
I hope so. I hope so. Jeff, you're next. I'm not optimistic, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, Howie, if Biden is talking about the Republicans using political tricks to keep a vote from happening, are the Democrats all in favor of the Texas Democrats jumping on planes and flying across the country to avoid a vote?
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point, Jeff. That is a classic political trick, and it's a lot less subtle than the quote-unquote political tricks the Republicans are using, isn't it?
I certainly think so. And you got to believe Walensky there, her husband must be really looking forward to some more seed money so we can start up a few more businesses.
Yes, we reported on that in Red State a few months back, and Grace ran into Rochelle Walensky over the weekend at the Chestnut Hill Mall. She was doing a little shopping. I would think if you were dealing with impending doom, which is what Rochelle Walensky said was facing the United States a few months ago, I would think you would have other fish to fry other than going to the Chestnut Hill Mall for a little early holiday shopping. Thanks for the call there, Jeff. 844-500-4242. 407, regarding Biden blaming Trump for $8 trillion in debt, almost half was in 2020. In Biden's first year, it will be $3.4 trillion, the highest in history and a direct result of the American rescue PAN, as he calls it. He's such a puke. He is a puke. There's no question about it. And he's not even half the puke he used to be. All right, we'll be back in a moment. 844-500-4242. We'll take a lot of calls in the last half hour. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. That's the number if you want to join us here this afternoon, every weekday afternoon. Monique, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Monique.
Thank you, Howie. Two items about COVID, if I could. Bigger picture, whether it's Governor Dan McKee and his absolute mandate that all healthcare workers get a vaccine, or President Biden's
mandate.
I thought they postpone enforcing that because no one was getting the vaccine or not enough people were getting it?
Well, no. If the healthcare, whether it's a hospital or a clinic or whatever, can ask for a 30-day extension, but that's the most that you're going to get.
Okay.
Yeah, the firings have already started, and there's already at least one nursing home saying that they can't stay adequately staffed. I mean, it's 90 hospitals, and including Rhode Island Hospital and nursing homes and so on, asked for the 30-day extension. So what's going to happen?
In 30 days.
So,
well, they're going to try to scare. Everybody, Monique. Right? Do you think it's going to? Do you think it's going to work?
Well, no, because I mean, the problem is that we all have access to the actual number and data, and that's my question. Like, if vaccines really work, why do we need a vaccine mandate? Those who get the vaccine are protected. So why do we need to have everybody get the vaccine? This is what's working against them.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that what Grace highlighted, one of Dr. Fauci's other comments, he said, well, you know what? It's, just because you only get a mild case of it and you don't get hospitalized, that's not good enough for me. Well, didn't he? That was the entire premise for the lockdowns, was to protect the hospital. So he just demolished the premise for the lockdown.
Right. Right. He has zero credibility left, doesn't he, Monique? I mean, if he really cared about this and thought there was a problem other than his his own ego, he would quit, wouldn't he? He would resign and turn it over to somebody with more credibility, which would be anybody at this point.
He has flip-flopped. You're absolutely right. He has zero credibility. He has flip-flopped on all the major issues. Especially related to COVID. Yeah, he has no credibility.
This is, I'm going to read you, thanks for the call, Monique. I'm going to read you this part of this story about this obituary that was censored by Twitter. They put it back up. Their fact checkers added a misleading alert to an obituary about a young woman who reportedly died after contracting a rare blood clotting disease induced by the COVID-19 vaccine. This is an obituary for Jessica Berg Wilson of Seattle, which shared by a Twitter user named Kelly B. And the caption was that she was an exceptionally healthy and vibrant 37-year-old young mother with no underlying health conditions. And she passed away from this thrombotic thrombocytopenia. She did not want to get vaccinated. And this tweet was shadow banned for a while, and they flagged the tweet as misleading with a link to an article on, quote, why health officials consider COVID-19 vaccines safe for most people. Well, if they're giving out tens of millions, they're not going to be safe for everybody, right? So Twitter has since removed the misleading label and lifted the shadow ban, which means you can't pass it on, I guess. Let's see here. It begins, the obituary, it starts out that she, her greatest goal in life, according to the obituary, was to be with the best mother possible to her daughters, Bridget and Clara, 3. Nothing would stand in the way in her way to be present in their lives, the obit reads. During the last days of her life, however, the world turned dark with heavy-handed vaccine mandates. Local and state governments were determined to strip away her right to enjoy her wisdom and freedom. She had been vehemently opposed to taking the vaccine, knowing that she was in good health and of a young age and thus not at risk for serious illness. In her mind, the known and unknown risks of the unproven vaccine were more of a threat. And then it goes on to talk about, what happened. But slowly, day by day, her freedom to choose was stripped away. Her passion to be actively involved in her children's education, which included being a room mom, was once again blocked by government mandate. And then ultimately those who closed doors and separated mothers from their children prevailed. It cost Jessica her life. This is the obit. It cost her children the loving embrace of their caring mother, and it cost her husband the sacred love of his devoted wife. It cost God's kingdom on earth a very special soul who was just making her love felt in the hearts of so many. And that's the obit that was flagged by Twitter. And then they unflagged it after they got a lot of complaints from various people, including Congressman Chip Roy of Texas and Tyler Carden, the CEO of Blaze Media, which is Glenn Beck's group, and outspoken conservative actress Gina Carano, the one that was fired by Disney. She shared the obit and tweeted, I know someone who passed away from the vaccine as well. Healthy 56-year-old woman. The vaccine took her out in 3 days. These Biden mandates are murdering people. So again, I mean, look, I took the vaccine. Yeah, I have to say that every time. And, everybody has to make their own decision, but nobody should be forced to do it. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Alan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, Howie, thanks for taking my call. And as Howie, just as you said, yes, you took the vaccine, and you made a decision based on the information that was provided to you. It was a personal decision.
Yes.
Everyone should be afforded that right to make that personal decision.
I agree.
But the problem, but what I see is the problem is, they're not letting people making informed decisions. These VAERS reports, they're on the CDC websites. It doesn't take much to look at them. I mean, there's a VAERS report out of Scotland that says 5,500 people died from these COVID vaccines. So with the efficacy rate being so low, if you got the vaccine, you can catch it. You can transmit it to other people. To me, this is a COVID-19 flu shot. Last 4 to 6 months, just like, you know, a regular flu shot, although this shot could kill you. But why can't we talk about all the deaths, the injuries, tetanus, deafness, blindness, the myocarditis?
Well, how about the fact, Alan, that the Delta appears to have peaked just about everywhere and is going down. And now they're saying, well, no, it's peaked, but there'll be another one coming. There'll be another one coming, right? I mean, it's just that they can't give it up. I mean, this is an addiction for these people. For some of these people, it's become a religion, Alan, hasn't it?
It's absolutely horrible. They're clinging to this, but it's the big pharma. They advertise in the media. I mean, all the media certainly has a vested interest in keeping the narrative going because Big Pharma is pumping money. You know, I mean,
I think you're right. Media gets some money from Big Pharma, but I think the bigger attraction for the media is you just keep the story going, and if anybody questions the story, you just take the handouts from the government. There's no effort required in any of these stories, and if anybody contradicts you, you just accuse them of being conspiracy theorists and science deniers, and what are they calling them now? According to Rand Paul, flat earthers. You call them flat earthers. So you know, it's again. I mean, I've never seen such lazy reporting as has been going on for the last year and a half. People just taking these handouts and just pretending that it's the end of the world, and it's BS. It's not whatever else it is. It's not the end of the world. And again, I mentioned earlier in the day that the Wall Street Journal finally ran a story saying that everything was winding down, but it was on page A6. It wasn't on the front page. I mean, it's you'd think good news would make the front page every once in a while, you know, if nothing else, but for a change of pace. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242, 781. How was your flight to Florida? My flight to Florida was okay. I was in the second row, and there was a rather plus-sized woman in front of me with a plus-sized guy, and she had some kind of oxygen mask or something, and she was going to have to put it down because she was in the front row, and I don't know what the FAA regulation was, but she wouldn't give it up. And so the pilot came out before we took off and was talking to her and said, ma'am, you're going to have to move to one of the back rows because it wasn't a full flight. It was good. There were a lot of people, but it wasn't full. And she said, I'm not leaving my seat. I'm not leaving my seat. And I just saw one of these things that I, you know, you read about every other day in the paper, right, or online. You know, flight delayed because fat person, you know, has a meltdown or something. So I was sitting right behind it. I went to the captain. And I said, I'll move. And I pulled my, what? He said, what? Because I'm wearing a freaking mask. So yes, I pulled down the mask. I said, I'll move if I have to.
He said, fat!
And then, so then I got up to move so that the fat woman could move back. And then they said, oh, the regulation is she has to sit by a window seat. So that meant the mailroom manager had to move. And the mailroom manager was not happy with the whole thing. She was not happy that I was moving, that I was giving in. So then she had to move. And so I was a good citizen. So, you know, I put the blinders on when I go on a flight, but I tried to be a good citizen to keep the flight on time. And when I left, the pilot said, thank you, sir, for trying to help out. I appreciated that. I really did. 844-500-4242. Marty, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Marty.
Hey, how you doing, dear?
Good.
Good. So I'm in a pretty liberal area up here, up north, and I got to say there's a lot of businesses that are being really, you know, sort of one-sided. They're taking the CDC's recommendations and they're just enforcing them sort of blindly, you know? They're not really doing their own research on YouTube or Facebook or anything like that.
You know what's if there's any way I can help it, Marty, I don't go in any places that require a mask. Do you?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, I try to, but they keep saying that, you know, it's a public health thing, and that they're not letting people you know, sort of make their own decisions in these businesses, and they keep saying that they're privately owned and that it should be a, you know, freedom of choice for the business. But I
right.
you know, it feels like they're really imposing a bunch of restrictions on us.
Right. As a customer, it's my freedom of choice not to patronize anybody that's going to make me wear a mask. I mean, again, in this flight, I had no choice. You know, I want to get down here. I don't want to drive. So I put on the mask, but that's the end of my masking for a long time. And I'm not going to deal with it. It's too easy to buy stuff online to put up with stores that are making you wear a mask inside. It's ridiculous. I'm not doing it. That's all there is to it. Thanks for the call, Marty. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with more of your calls. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return after this brief commercial break.
Excitable? You bet I'm excitable. We're trying to put a guilty man in the chair where he belongs. Someone stops telling us fairy tales and we're listening.
Howie Carr is back.
Fat! I'm not that fat. Fat!
844-500-4242. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Howie. How you doing?
Good.
I figured out how to outsmart the Google search engine. I put in a couple of non-political requests, and I got all kinds of information on what the Nazis did with vaccines in the 30s. They would inject people with a TB vaccine, whether they had tuberculosis or not. They used to accuse Jews of bringing all kinds of diseases into the country.
Yeah.
And to them, diseases were part of genetic inferiority.
Well, I don't know about any of that, Steve. But you know, I do know that in the Nuremberg codes, I guess, that were written after the Nuremberg trials and after World War II, I think they specifically said that you couldn't give vaccinations against people's will. That was part of the lessons that they learned from the Nazi genetic engineering and crimes against humanity, the genocide during World War II. It was horrible what they did. I don't, you know, I just, I just think the people now are just, I don't know that they're so evil. What they're doing is, I mean, these mandates forcing people out of their jobs, it's just astonishing that Americans are treating other Americans like this while giving a free pass to people who aren't even Americans, who aren't people that are even coming over here to add anything to the country other than, to the welfare rolls. I just don't get it. Thanks for the call, Steve. 844-500-4242. Stop me if you've heard this one before. There has been a fake hate crime down in Georgia.
I'm shocked. Shocked.
A black woman in Douglasville, Georgia, has been charged with posing as a member of the Ku Klux Klan and posting notes through neighbors' doors threatening to kill their children. Teresha Lucas, 30, has been charged with 8 counts of making terroristic threats, according to the Douglasville, Georgia Police Department. Investigators allege that Teresha Lucas wrote letters describing herself as a, quote, 6-foot-tall white male with a long red beard who did not live in the neighborhood. Who could have possibly suspected that this was a phony hate crime? Again, the black woman described herself allegedly as a 6-foot-tall white male with a long red beard who did not live in the neighborhood. Was he a Viking, perhaps? So, of course, this was covered, wall to wall by the local media when it came. One of them told the local CBS affiliate, one of the people who'd received the letter, "I received one 2 days ago, and I was alarmed at what it said. The letter is using the N-word, talking about the KKK, hanging people, killing kids, killing whole families, and setting houses on fire. At least 7 families reported receiving the threatening letters." And now it turns out it was a fake hate crime. Who could have ever imagined such a thing? I wonder how the investigation at UMass Amherst is going, by the way. You know, they hired an outside IT firm to investigate and to track down where those hate emails came from that went out to black organizations and students at UMass Amherst. And I would hope that we would soon have a list or the names of the perpetrators of these hate crimes. I'm just wondering how long it's going to take them to discover who actually committed these hate crimes, who wrote these terrible messages. By the way, Fairfax County, Virginia. Fairfax County police have stopped publishing a weekly arrest blotter after county officials found it violated a policy that restricts the dissemination of personal information against illegal aliens. I'm Howie Carter.